Morning. Today's daf is Becharos Daf Beis. Welcome to the beginning of Masechta Becharos, next Masechta in Seder Kachim. In terms of a confluence of events, it's hard to get any better than this. We're starting Becharos on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is obviously inextricably linked with the mitzvah of Bechor and the idea of Bechor. And let's start with some Pesukim and Chumash. The Torah in Parshas Bo talks about the Kedushas Bechor. As we know, the culmination of the Malkus in Mitzrayim ended with Malkus Becharos, and it was determined that the firstborns were going to be are going to be killed. In the Pesukim themselves, the impression you get is that it's Midah Keneged Midah, it's measure for measure. The Mitzrayim wanted to kill the Bechor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, Am Yisrael. And so as a measure for measure, so the Bechor of Mitzrayim were killed. All the firstborns were killed. As far as Bechor Yisrael, so they were saved. And this part of the episode we are all familiar with. So we took blood and we put it on the doorposts. And Kadosh Baruch Hu passed over the houses so that the Bechor of the Bnei Yisrael were in fact saved. If you look at the end of Parshas Bo, Vayakiv Echa Hashem al Art Kanani Kashenishba Lacha, Vila Avosecho Nesan Alach. So now the Torah, the end of Parshas Bo, basically during Yitzias Mitzrayim, so it gives a forecast, and that is that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'avarta kol petarechem l'Hashem v'chol pedra sheger behem asher yeh lecha hazecharim l'Hashem. And what's the first thing that we're introduced to in terms of, then we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and what? And there's going to be Kedushas Bechor. Anything that's a firstborn, and I don't mean literally anything, but as we'll see, almost anything. Anything that is a firstborn is going to have Kedusha. In fact, the Torah says, V'avarta kol petarechem. Hashem, everything that first comes out firstborn is really dedicated to Hashem. V'chol petar sheger behema asher yeh lecha hazecharim l'Hashem. Firstborn animals are going to have kedusha, and you think it only applies to the kosher animals? No, it also applies to some non-kosher animals. And when I say some, I really mean one non-kosher animal, and that's the next pasuk in the Torah. So this is 13:13. Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Gimel. V'chol petar chamor tivde v'seh. And even the firstborn donkey is going to be redeemed with a sheep. Now, if you don't redeem it with a sheep, so then what you're going to have to do is decapitate the donkey. And every bechor of a person is going to be redeemed. Okay. So, kedushas bechor, pidyon bechor. So the fact is that there's going to be a certain sanctity to a firstborn, and there's going to be a redemption of the firstborn. Good. So clearly you cannot I cannot understate how it comes to be that on Erev Pesach we're learning about and we're opening up with the Masechta Becharos. Okay, first parak. Our first parak over here is dedicated to the topic of Petar Chamor, firstborn of a donkey. It is an unusual place to open up, meaning we basically have three different options in which we could be discussing. We could be discussing Bechor of Behema Tahora, right? Any firstborn of a kosher animal is going to have Kedushas Bechor. There's also Bechor Adam, right? The firstborn of us are going to have Kedusha. And then there is Petar Chamor. There is the firstborn of the donkey. So of the three, so which one would we have opened up with the Masechta? Well, it's not for us to decide, but if we had a vote, so where would we go? So probably Bechor Adam. Probably would be number one. So not only is that not number one, that's number three. Right, of the topics that are discussed in our Masechta, so that's coming up last. Our Masechta is going to be dedicated first and foremost with Petar Chamor. Now Rashi over here points out, Rashi's quoting a Gemara from later on. The Gemara is going to say this later on. The reason why Petar Chamor is because Petar Chamor, as far as Halacha is concerned, is not a big topic. It's a small topic. It's a one-parak topic. So what the Masechta decided to do, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi decided to do, is take the Halachas of Petar Chamor, put that in the front end of the Masechta, and then, after that, from that point going forward, is going to then deal with the rest of it of being Bechor of Behema and Bechor Adam. Bechor Behema Tahora and Bechor Adam. So basically what we have over here is an understanding that this is the smallest topic in Bechoros, and consequently it is given it's given primacy, but at the same time also it's understood that because it's just one parak of information, so we put it in the front end of the Masechta. Okay. With that stated, let's open up with. I could ask the question. I mean, just one more word of introduction. of all the non-kosher animals out there, why is it that the donkey has kedusha? It has sanctity. And what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to take the kedusha and redeem it with a sheep. So, right, the questions could be manifold. Why donkey? Why redemption with the sheep? So that is, the Torah itself, of course, does not give reasons in terms of why that should be, but the Gemara does. The Gemara is not here. The Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi in Shkalim. And the Gemara over there wonders, why is it that the Chamor is the animal that has Kedusha? So the fact of the matter is that it's obviously connected with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so it must have something to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that must be the connection. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that is specifically the donkey, because the donkey is what helped us pack our bags and all of our possessions, and parenthetically also the possessions of the Mitzrayim, and packed it all and allowed us to leave Egypt. So since the chamor was, the donkey was an integral part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so therefore it also has kedusha status. That's the Yerushalmi's response in terms of why specifically the chamor.
It also helped
with Akedah Yitzchak. It goes back. In other words, yeah. There is definitely chamors coming up all the time throughout Tanakh, but specifically why kedusha, why sanctity. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. With that stated, let's take a look at the Mishnah over here. The first Mishnah on the Masechta Alokech Alokech Ubar Chamaro Shove Kochavim. So. A Mishnah, so as we point out, the Masechta starts in a funny place, in that it starts with Petach Hamor. The Mishnah also starts in a funny place, because the Mishnah starts with exemption. Meaning, when is there going to be a non-obligation for your donkey? You own a donkey, and it's going to be delivering its firstborn, and that Petach Hamor, that firstborn that comes out of the donkey that you owned, is going to be sometimes exempt from the mitzvah. So what is the idea of So the Mishnah opens up in a strange place, and that, of course, is exemption. Instead of talking about when you're obligated, how you're obligated, et cetera, et cetera. Talks about exemption. Okay. But the idea of exemption is very simple, and that is that if you have non-Jewish shareholdings in the donkey, so then there's going to be an exemption. That's the idea of the Mishnah. It's a very simple idea. It's very straightforward. We start with a number of different scenarios in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah first talks about two types of transactions. One, a purchase. You purchase the fetus of the donkey of a non-Jew. So that means to say that the mother belonged to a non-Jew, and what you do is you buy a fetus. Now, purchasing of a fetus creates its own set of halachic conundrums, meaning that when we talk about making a kinyan, so you have to make a kinyan on something that is currently here and not on a future. Purchasing a future is what in halacha is referred to as a davish lo bala olam. It's buying something that's not yet here in existence, and that's not a kinyan. Okay, a shear in of itself of why that's not a kinyan, but that's not a kinyan. Now, this is something which is debated throughout Shas, whether you can make a kinyan on a davish shabala olam, or you cannot make a kinyan on a davish shabala olam. For our Mishnah, obviously, let's assume that we subscribe to the viewpoint that you can make a kinyan even though it's a davish shabala olam. Now, we could argue, we could say that maybe the Mishnah holds that you can't, and maybe the Mishnah over here views the fetus as something that's already in the world, meaning it is physically in the world, even though it hasn't emerged as of yet. Okay, but in other words, but that's not going to be our topic for today. The topic for today is going to be the exemption from Kedushas Bechor. So how the kinyan works, it's an important question, but it's not going to be our focus. So on the first case of the Mishnah, we're talking about purchasing the fetus of a donkey from a non-Jew. So that means the mother obviously belonged to a non-Jew, and you're just buying the fetus. Hamocher lo, or you sell the non-Jew the fetus. Afa pisha and rashai. Now the truth of the matter is that you shouldn't have done so. Meaning, having sold that to the non-Jew is something which is a violation. Now, why should that be? So stay tuned. We're going to be discussing more of that as we go through the Gemara. There are two cases in the Mishnah. Yes. Just one second. Hamishtatef lo, v'hamikabel heimenu. Now, if you go into a partnership with a non-Jew over an animal, so that fetus that now emerges from this animal, where 50%, and the numbers over here does not have to be 50%, but 50% ownership of a Jew, 50% ownership of a non-Jew, the resulting fetus that comes out is also going to be exempt from the Kedushas Chamor. And the last cases of the Mishnah are going to be cases of sharecropping. Now, sharecropping obviously normally applies to properties and fields, but you could sharecrop anything. Anything that gives production, so you could sharecrop. So we go into now the following arrangement, where let's say I have an animal, and I give it to the non-Jew, and I say, look, you do all the work, and what we'll do is we'll split the offspring. You'll get one, I'll get one, however you want to construct the business deal. Or conversely, the non-Jew can own the animal, and he can give me the animal to work, and we can, again, arrive at a similar financial arrangement, where I'll work the animal, and we'll split the offspring. Okay, so we're sharecropping on livestock, and specifically over here, donkeys. So, hamekabel haymenu, v'hanosein lo b'kabbalah. So either you're the one who is sharecropping, meaning the animal belongs to him, and the Jew is the one who is doing the work and splitting the offspring, or conversely, hanosein lo b'kabbalah. It's the Jew's animal giving it to the non-Jew, and the offspring are going to get split. So pater min habechora. So in all these scenarios, so we really described in our Mishnah five different scenarios. One of transaction, where either I buy the fetus or he's buying the fetus for me. When I say he, I mean the non-Jew. Or that's one and two. Or it's just a simple partnership where we both have shares in the mother animal. Or a sharecropping in either direction. The animal belongs to the Jew and the non-Jew is working and splitting the produce, splitting the offspring. Or the non-Jew owes the animal and gives it to the Jew to work and split the offspring. In all of these scenarios, pater min habechora. So there's an exemption from habechora. And even though there are five different scenarios, there is but one explanation for all these scenarios. And that is, shenemar, b'Yisrael, ava lo b'achir. In order for there to be kedushas b'chor, there has to be exclusivity of Jewish ownership. Once you have non-Jewish ownership, either represented by shares or even if it's represented by a business arrangement in which we're going to be splitting the profits, whatever the non-Jewish interest is in the animal, that is going to create an exemption from the mitzvah from the Kedushas Chamor. And by the way, this is not only going to be an exemption for Kedushas Chamor, but it's also going to be an exemption for the Kedusha of a Bechor Behema Tahora, a kosher animal as well. In other words, once I have non-Jewish interest in the animal, so that's going to be an exemption as well. The only reason why the Mishnah didn't make that point over here is because that's not our perek. Our perek is talking about chamor and petah chamor, firstborn of a donkey. So our comments, the Mishnah's comments over here, are going to be limited to petah chamor.
It has to be a specific chamor. As you say, a partnership like 10 chamorim. It has to be a specific to say that this one is also partnership, or it could be like 50% of all the chamorim you have.
I didn't understand. What's the arrangement?
Like the group of livestock, or just specifically each one has to be mentioned?
As long as he has an interest. What do you mean? He has shares in all 10?
Yes.
Yeah, so then that's it. As long as he has an interest.
The five cases in the Mishnah are all uber chamor?
Oh, not necessarily, no. In other words, in the case 3, 4, and 5, 3 is we have partnership in the mother. 4 and 5 is that I'm giving him my animal.
So the animal had kedushas before, right, and now loses kedushas before.
Oh, no, not necessarily. Meaning it's a mother, and it then issues its first offspring. So in case 4 and 5, in case 4 and 5, the sharecropping is done on the mother, and in other words, the mother is basically going to be handed from one to the other. Right. So now, kol hanilamili. So the Gemara says now, that's a lot of cases to make basically the same point. The point of the Mishnah is really one point. For there to be kedushas b'chor, there has to be exclusive ownership by a Jew. And to which now, so many different scenarios, but the Gemara says, but they're all necessary. Kol hanilam elitzricha, di'itan alokeach, because if we had the case of purchasing hava mina mishum dekam ha'isal elekdusha. You see, as it relates to now, the purchasing of an animal from a non-Jew to a Jew, so what have you done? So you have elevated the status of the animal. Elevated the status of the animal? What? It's now owned by a Jew, it's now a holier animal? And according to Rashi, that's absolutely correct. Rashi writes over here, Maisalah la Kedusha, Shitei Shavesus Beshabbos Vekevim de Mitzvah Avid Leika Lemiknesei. You see, when a Jew goes now from the hands of a non, I'm sorry, when the donkey goes from the hands of a non-Jew to a Jew, so now there is, it's now the Jew's animal, and the animal has to be Shomer Shabbos. Okay, now Shomer Shabbos as it relates to the animal, so it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that your animals have to be Shomer Shabbos. In other words, that you cannot work your animals on Shabbos. It does not mean, right, Tosus makes this point. Forgive me, I forgot where he makes this point, but Tosus makes this point. It does not mean that your animal can't eat grass on Shabbos. You know, the animal's going to be plucking the grass out of the ground on Shabbos. And you know, we're not allowed to do that. That's Tolish. That's it's one of the malachas on Shabbos. It's Kotzer. So it's one of the malachas on Shabbos. And meanwhile, you don't have to prevent your animal from doing that. But what it does mean, of course, however, is that with your animal on Shabbos, so you can't put a saddle on it, and you can't have it work. In other words, it's got to rest on Shabbos. So when an animal goes from a possession of a non-Jew over to a Jew, so that creates an upgrade in Kedusha to the animal. Now the animal is going to have to be Shomer Shabbos. Now, again, by the way, let's all recognize the fact that it's an animal. And it's not, in other words, it's not that the animal now being Shomer Shabbos, in other words, it's obviously a function of it being owned by a Jew, but still, now that it's going to abide by Hilchos Shabbos to the extent of Shvisas Behemto, so now it's an upgrade in Kedusha. Fine. Ava Mocher to come off of Kedusha. But the Gemara says, but let's consider. When you're selling an animal from a Jew to a non-Jew, so that is now Hafkas Kedusha. That's a removal of the Kedusha, because now, as we just explained, you're going in the other direction. Now the animal is going from Jewish possession to non-Jewish possession, and it's no longer going to be Shomer Shabbos. Again, I'm reading the Gemara like Rashi. So Eima Liknase. So the Gemara suggested now that there should be some sort of kenas, some sort of punitive fine. And basically what should now happen is the following. Even though, obviously now, from a strict sense of the halacha, it's exempt from the mitzvah of Petur Chamor, because this firstborn donkey now is owned by a non-Jew. And so, right over here, we're talking about the purchasing of the fetus. So there's an exemption of the Petur Chamor, of the firstborn donkey. And so, really, me'ikar hadin, there is no requirement of redemption, but because of your poor behavior of having sold the animal from a Jew to a non-Jew, so therefore maybe a kenas. Maybe a fine that should go to the Jew and that he should redeem it. Now, of course, it's only a kenas, because me'ikar adin, you don't have to redeem the animal. So, kamash malan.
Is that kenas to fix the mount, though?
No? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sometimes a kenas, it can be set by the Beis Din. Okay, so kamash malan. V'amishatef lo lamali. Okay, so that's cases number one and two of the Mishnah. The purchasing of the fetus. Case number three of the Mishnah, partnership in the mother. So why do I need that? Lafuki mid Rav Yehuda damar shutfas avikocham chayves bebechora. Kamash malan de peturman and bechora. So there is a shita in Shas, Rabbi Yehuda, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when there's a partnership in the mother, the resulting offspring is going to have Kedusha and going to require redemption. So our Mishnah obviously doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint, but that's exactly the point. Our Mishnah wants to make it clear that we don't subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's why case number three is significant. Now, what about the cases of kablanus, where an animal is given either from the Jew to the non-Jew, or conversely from the non-Jew to the Jew, with the understanding and the agreement that the offspring are going to get split, where there in those two cases, those last two cases, there's also going to be exemption. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, as far as being on the receiving end of kablanus, where the animal belongs to a non-Jew, and now it's given over to a Jew. So that case does not have a chiddush, but it does set us up for the last case of the Mishnah, where it's the Jew's animal now given over to the non-Jew. So this animal is fundamentally whose animal? Jew's animal. In other words, the only thing that we're agreeing upon is that the resulting offspring are going to be split between you and I. But the animal itself, the mother itself, belongs to the Jew. So, liknase. So, what we should do is we should make a kenas over here. Why? Gemara goes on to explain. Because what may end up happening over here is the following. That this case looks like a transaction. Meaning, if the animal belongs to a Jew, and now it's going to be given over to a non-Jew. Now, people without, you know, sophisticated business savvy, you could throw me into that group. So people without sophisticated business savvy will say, look, what just happened over here? I saw the Jew give his animal over to a non-Jew. Now, it's not really, that transaction was not on the mother itself. That was only just there to create a business deal regarding the offspring. But again, the people watching, the casual observer is going to say, oh, that's okay, right? Oh, if I could do that, I can also sell my animal to a non-Jew. Effectively, that's what he did. It's the same thing, right? So one might have thought under those circumstances, because it looks so similar to a regular sale, so therefore people would say, oh, a regular sale is okay. So therefore, what if the Chachamim were to have made a kenas and required the owner of the animal to redeem the firstborn donkey, even though Meikar Adin, there's no requirement, so then that would show people, hey, this is, you know, in general, this is not sanctioned behavior. It's not appropriate behavior to make such arrangements. So Kamash Malan. So the point the Mishnah is making is that there's no such kenas, and that the firstborn animal is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Petra Chamor, and not only that, but there's not even a kenas as well. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first sugya of our Gemara. Why all the cases in the Mishnah? Meaning, can't the Mishnah just simply say non-Jewish interest creates an exemption? Right, that's a wonderful summary of the Mishnah. It is, but then on top of that, specifically why all the cases that we learned together in the Mishnah. Tanan Hasam. Okay, and now we're going to basically understand better that line in the Mishnah that I just steamrolled right over. The Mishnah talked about selling an animal to a non-Jew, and even though you're really not allowed to do that. Right? Afa Pishen Rasha. You're not permitted to do so. So what does that mean, you're not permitted to sell an animal to a non-Jew? Where did that come from? It comes from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah describes a halacha in which you're not allowed to sell large animals to a non-Jew. The Gemara over there really struggles in terms of why that should be. Why are you not allowed to sell a large animal to a non-Jew? It's a commodity. In other words, it's property. So, and what's he going to do with it? And whatever he does with it, so what? It doesn't belong to you anymore. Meaning one idea that the Gemara entertains over there in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is, well, the animal belonged to a Jew, and it was Shomer Shabbos, and then you give it to a non-Jew, and now it's going to violate Shabbos. It's not going to violate Shabbos. In other words, once the animal is no longer owned by a Jew, so it's owned by a non-Jew, so then it's no longer subscribing to the rules of Shabbos.
The mitzvah is on the owner of the animal happens to be
correct,
Jew,
correct.
The animal itself.
Correct. So that can't be it, and it's not it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah goes over different explanations, different reasons why it is. One, the Gemara over there suggests that if you end up selling it to him, you're going to end up lending it to him. And lending it to him, that's the problem. Because once you lend it to him, and you lend it to him over the weekend, so then he's going to work your animal on Shabbos. It's, in other words, even though it's a loan, but it's your animal. So that's going to be a problem. Another problem, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, is that let's say he's going to ask for a... We're heading into Shabbos, and he's going to ask for a test drive. And so he's going to be test driving your animal, and it's going to be on Shabbos, while it's still your animal. Another suggestion over there in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is that what's going to end up happening is that you're going to sell the animal to the non-Jew, but the animal has been your animal for years and totally recognizes your voice, and you're going to command it on Shabbos to do something, and that is also an issur of being mechamer, directing, giving clear directions to an animal to work on Shabbos, even if it's not your animal, but it knows your voice and it follows your instructions. So that's the issur of mechamer. And that also is going to be prohibited, and that's the another concern over there. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as you can hear me just like rattling off different suggestions, really struggles in terms of understanding this, but it's Gzeirat d'Rabbanan. One is not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew.
All those things you said apply to a small animal too.
Apply to a small animal? The Gemara's assumption is that you don't really work a small animal. In other words, the sheep and the goat, they're grazing. There's no real production that comes out of that animal, no labor production that comes out of the animal. The Gemara's assumption always is that you hitch the oxen and you have the donkey caring for you. The horse also works for you, but the smaller animals, there's no real labor production coming out of it. That's the Gemara's general assumption. If you take a look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, so I steamrolled the line of the Mishnah, but now obviously we're spending more time on it. And if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, he writes it really simple. So, and it may be like an oversimplified version of everything I just discussed, but it makes our discussion so much easier. Rashi says, Afa Pisha and Rashi, I'm going back to Rashi in the Mishnah. Ki detanyu b'mesecher v'rezara, uvekama mekamos, ein mochren lahem behem agasa. One is not allowed to sell large animals to a non-Jew. Mebnei she'osa ba malacha b'shabbos. Because he's going to be doing malacha with it on Shabbos. Now, as I already got done explaining, and so what? You sold it to him. You're no longer the owner of it. He's now the owner of it. And it could very well be that what Rashi over here is just simply indicating is that, look, know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, understand the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, but for our purposes right now, in our Masechta, right, just as maybe even an oversimplified view, but still, it's just a simple way to look at it, the animal once upon a time belonged to a Jew, now it no longer belongs to a Jew, At one point in time, it had to subscribe to Shabbos. Now it doesn't have to subscribe to Shabbos. Okay, there are answers that explain why there's a difference. But still, when all said and done, distilled, it all comes down to you've now removed an element of Shabbos from that animal's life, and so therefore, well, you shouldn't do it. And with that in mind, now let's turn our attention to our Gemara. We're on Beis Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud. Tanan Hasam. So we're going to be learning a couple of halachas regarding the sale of animals to a non-Jew. Rav Yehuda Matir Bishwur, Rav Yehuda allows the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. You're not working with that animal. The only thing that's going to happen to the animal is broken, meaning it's not walking or it can't work. It's a broken animal. So what the buyer, what is he going to do with that animal? Wait for when he's got a big dinner coming up, and he's going to shech the animal. But he's not going to work the animal. So there, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's fine. And B'Misera Matir B'Sos, and B'Misera allows for the sale of a horse to a non-Jew. Clearly you're going to work with the horse. Yeah, but what do people generally do with horses? They ride horses. So you're riding horses, so what is the activity on Shabbos that the horse is going to do? The horse is going to have a human riding on top of it. And we get to the topic of Chai Nosei Satzmo, meaning that carrying on Shabbos, although it's one of the malachas on Shabbos, but that's carrying, so to say, dead weight or inanimate objects. But if, let's say, you're carrying a person, so then that is not Aser Min HaTorah. That's not the act of carrying Min HaTorah. So this is the Rabbanan involved, but it's not Min HaTorah. So over here, if you're selling him a horse, where the horse is going to be riding a person on top of it, and that gets to the topic of Chai Nosei Zatzmo, so that's not an Iser Daraisa, and so therefore there is no rabbinic ban on selling a horse to a non-Jew when it doesn't result in an Iser Daraisa.
What if the horse carries a dead person in a carriage?
Good. Again, we're looking at all those are wonderful points. We're looking at whether or not there's a blanket ban on the sale of a horse to a non-Jew, because we have to look at typically what he does with it. You're right. There could be opportunities in which exceptions, but we're looking at the general ban. Ibai lahu. Okay. So now, we have learned two exceptional positions in terms of the sale of large animals to a non-Jew. In the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yehuda says you can sell a broken animal to a non-Jew because he's not going to work it. So now, question. Uber Mali Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So what would Rabbi Yehuda say about the sale of a fetus to a non-Jew? Now again, putting the side of making a king and a davish lo bala olam, selling a fetus to a non-Jew. Acceptable, not acceptable. What would Rabbi Yehuda say? And the Gemara explains now the question. Time of the Rav Yehuda Asam Deshar Mishum Deshvura Uber Nami Shavarhu. So you know you can't work with a broken animal. You also know you can't work with a fetus. Right? A fetus can't do work for you in its current state. Obviously, if I'm going to forecast, so the broken animal is probably not going to recover. The fetus has got a great prognosis. Okay? It's probably going to come out. It's going to be born. It's going to grow up. And it's going to work. Dilma Shvura, and the Gemara now makes exactly that point. Meaning there's an obvious difference between a broken animal and a fetus. A broken animal in its current condition and probably for the future as well, that's it. It's not going to work. Literally. But when it comes to the fetus, however, in its current state, it's not going to work, but give it some time and let it get born and let it develop and it's going to be able to work. So, where would Rabbi Yehuda side on the sale of a fetus to a non-Jew? So Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's consider our Mishnah. Hamocher lo af apishen rashai. The Mishnah says you're selling him a fetus, meaning the Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah, of course, right now, is not talking about the ban of the sale of non-Jew of large animals to a non-Jew, but our Mishnah is just talking about the sale of a donkey and the question of whether or not there's an obligation of Kedushas Bechor and Pijon Bechor. But in the meantime, however, the Mishnah does throw in a line that you're not allowed to sell the fetus of a donkey to a non-Jew. Now, you'll notice in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything. So, velo palig Rabbi Yehuda. And so, can't we deduce from that point that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're not allowed to do that? Gemara says that's not a compelling argument. Velo tamecha mishtatev lo v'mekabal ha'imen v'anosin lo bekabalo delo ketani hachinami delo palig. Well, what about the case? What about the third case of the Mishnah? That's a partnership. The third case of the Mishnah, partnership, where there we know Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And the Mishnah doesn't make a mention of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? So just because our Mishnah doesn't mention something does not mean that Rabbi Yehuda is acquiescent. Ela palig velo ketani. Hachnami palig velo ketani. So the Gemara says, it could very well be that Rav Yehuda disagrees. It's just that the Mishnah is not necessarily the platform in which Rav Yehuda is going to be arguing. Tashma. Rav Yehuda Omer HaMekabah Behema Min Ovi Kochavim V'yalda Man Losa B'Shavi V'Nosei Chasi Adam HaLakoin. The Gemara quotes the following braisa. We are now going to the last cases of the Mishnah, the case of Kablanos, where you take the animal from a non-Jew, a donkey from a non-Jew, with the understanding that we're going to split the offspring, and the animal gives birth, man lo so b'shavyav, what we do is we assess how much the value of that animal is, v'nosein chas yadam of the kohen, and you give half the amount to the kohen. And again, this is Shitas Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda says the partnership is not going to create an exemption. So since a partnership is not going to create an exemption, so therefore this animal, which is half owned by a Jew, so half of its value now has to go to the Kohen. Good. Hanosein lo bekabalah, but let's go in the other direction, where now it's the Jew's animal, and he's now going to hand it over to the non-Jew, and with the understanding that it still belongs to the Jew, but the offspring are going to be split and divided between Jew and non-Jew. So alfa pishen rashai, now you're not allowed to do that, konsen oso ad asar bedamav. Venosin called him of the Kohen. So here, a fine. A fine because he has ignored the Chachamim. The Chachamim said you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't make such arrangements. And because he violated the ban of the Chachamim, so therefore a kenas. Over here, a hefty kenas. A sara bedamav, 10 times its value, and you give its value over to the Kohen. Now.
That's not a Facebook kenas.
Huh?
That's not a Facebook kenas either. It's
just
a variable amount. It could be anything.
Okay, so we're saying 10 times its amount. Now, with those pronouns are always tricky. So when we say its amount, its value, what are we talking about? In other words, there are two considerations over here. One, the mother animal. Two, the resulting offspring. So which one are we talking about? My lava uber? So the Gemara says, aren't we talking about the fetus? And that means to say that what ban did you violate? You sold the fetus over to a non-Jew. And isn't that what the Bryce is describing? The Gemara says, no. Lo, abehema. No. Over here, it's the fact that you handed over the mother to the non-Jew. So the Gemara says, v'hadamav ketani. Okay, now we get to this tricky part. It's called grammar. Okay, and I know. I'm also not so good at it. But here's a little that I could tell you. If we were talking about the mother animal, we would say dameha, in the female, in the feminine. If we were talking about the offspring, the Hebrew word for offspring is zubar, which is a masculine word, which is damav. So it does sound like, just knowing a little bit of grammar, it sounds like we're talking about the offspring, we're not talking about the mother. So tini dameha. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, that's a great point. Okay, so I'm open to an emendation of the braisa. Let's change it from damav to dameha. So the Gemara says, v'han nosin kol damav, Lekohen Katani, the Ibahema Kohen Maya Vidate. Well, you're giving all of its value to the Kohen. Like Gemara says, let's think this out. If we're talking about the mother, why are you giving the value of the mother over to a Kohen? Meaning, I understand that you did something inappropriate. You quote unquote sold the animal to a non-Jew. I know it's not a sale, right? It's a business arrangement. But it looks like you sold the animal to a non-Jew. I can understand making a kenas on the person. But then, taking that kenas money, giving it over to the Kohen, if we're talking about the mother, so what business does the Kohen have receiving that money? Why would the proceeds of that fine go to the Kohen? If we're talking about the fetus, oh, I totally get it. Meaning because what you did through this maneuver, through this business maneuver, is that you have created an exemption that prevented the Kohen from getting his earnings, getting his pigeon chamor. So obviously, it makes a lot more sense that we're talking about the fetus and we're not talking about the mother. Huh. So the Gemara says that's a great point. So the Gemara says, okay, well maybe the case of the Brice is a very specific case. This, by the way, in halacha is what you refer to normally as a dochik answer. It's really a forced answer, that's a pushed answer. But still, we could be talking about a scenario in which I handed over a pregnant donkey to a non-Jew with the instructions of fatten it up and whatever appreciation there results. And you fanning it up, so we're going to split the difference on that appreciation. So now, because there's going to be a kenas on the mother, because part of the business arrangement was on the mother, there's also going to be kenas on the fetus as well. but it may not speak to whether or not, in general, Rav Yehuda allows or disallows the sale of a fetus over to a non-Jew. So basically, through a little bit of fancy footwork, we deflected the proof, and we're still basically asking the question. Rav Yehuda allows for the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew. That he allows. What about the sale of a fetus? It's still on the table. Amar Rav Ashi Tashma, Rav Yehuda Mati B'Shvur, Mimnei She'en Yechol L'Hitzrapos. So here in a Braisa, you are allowed to sell a broken animal to a non-Jew because it's not going to recover. So Hayechol L'Hitzrapos Asava, Uber Nami, Kiyachol L'Hitzrapos Nami, Shmamina. Now, when it comes to a fetus, you know, a fetus can heal. And again, like I described earlier, excellent prognosis. So with the fetus. So obviously there's a built-in difference between a fetus and that of a broken animal. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. That Rav Yehuda, although he allows the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew, because it can't work, but he would not allow for the sale of a fetus. We're going to do all this round two. Some learn exactly what we said on the Mishnah. So basically, it's going to be here almost the identical same discussion. It just happens to be that the starting point is the Mishnah. So, Lema Masisin Loka Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it sounds like our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. I'm reading this quickly because this is all a review. Denan Rabbi Yehuda Mat Beshvur. Rabbi Yehuda allows for the sale of a broken animal. Afilotem Rabbi Yehuda. Shvura Lav Hainu Orche. Uber Hainu Orche. And the Gemara starts off with the argument, well, there's a difference. In other words, a broken animal, that's not normal. A fetus, okay, in its current state, it's not working, but that's normal because that's a fetus. Eventually, it will come to work. Tashma Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mekabel Behema Menove Kocham V'Yalda Me'amal Nasa B'Shaviyav Nasa Nechatzia Damav L'Kohen. If let's say we make a business arrangement where we're going to be splitting the offspring, so and the firstborn that comes out, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, not the halacha, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, 50% of the animal goes over to a Kohen. V'Anosan L'Bekabal Afapishan Rishai Konsan Nasa Adasar B'Damav Nasan Kol Damav L'Kohen. Conversely, if it's a Jew's animal and he gives it to the non-Jew to split the profits. So they're a kenas because he violated a rabbinic ban. Now, my lava uber lo abehema. Are we talking about the kenas going on the fetus? No, it's going on the mother. V'hadamav ketaniya, but it says masculine. So tini damah, so change it to feminine. V'hanosin kol damav lekohen ketaniya, but you're giving the proceeds of that fine over to a kohen. V'behema kohen ma'avidate. Now, if the ban that he violated was on the transaction with the mother, so what? The kohen has nothing to do with the mother. The kohen is getting the proceeds of the fetus. So hachba ma'iskin kigon di'av behema ma'avart lepetuma demigu dekansin le'behema kansin le'auber. And the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about a very limited scenario in which you handed a pregnant animal over to the non-Jew, asking him to fatten the animal, and we're going to split the profits of both the mother and the offspring. So there, since there's going to be a fine on the mother, there's also going to be a fine on the fetus as well. But in general, it doesn't necessarily prove that there is a ban on selling fetuses to a non-Jew. I'm Rav Ashi Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Mati B'Shvur, Mimnei She'en Yechol L'Hitzrapos. So once again, we quote the Braisa in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The reason why you are allowed to sell a broken animal over to a non-Jew is because it's not going to heal. So Hayechol L'Hitzrapos Aser, V'Hayinami Kaviyachol L'Hitzrapos Nami. If it can heal, so then you can't do it. Obviously, a fetus is going to heal, so Shema Minam. Okay, so the Gemara says we're good. We're good now. We see that according to Rav Yehuda, even though he allows for the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew, but he does not allow for the sale of a fetus to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, let's say I sell an animal, and the animal is not currently pregnant, but I sell the animal only for its fetuses. So this is as classic now as you can get of a davar shelo bala olam. So over here, I'm basically selling somebody the rights to the fetus. And so now, what would be the consideration over here? My tibayla Rav Yehuda, tibayla Rabbana. So this question I can actually pose in either direction, either according to the Chachamim or according to according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tibayla Rabbi Yehuda, ad kan lo kashar Rabbi Yehuda ala b'shvura, delo asya le'echlufe. So over here, Rabbi Yehuda says, I can sell a broken animal because everyone can easily recognize, oh, do you know why that sale was permitted? Because that animal was broken, and you can't work with that animal. That animal, however, is a working animal. You can't sell that. So it's easy to differentiate. Avashlema de asya la'achlufe aser. However, if you're going to be transacting a full and complete animal, so not everyone is going to be sophisticated enough to see, oh, but wait one second, he wasn't really selling the animal, he was just selling the fetuses, and that's different than this case over here. So there requires more sophistication, and people may not have that. Again, we're talking about the general population. Odilma umashvura de paskamine v'choshken shlema de la paskamine. So, or the Gemara says, look, on the other hand, when you're selling a shvura, so there, that sale is a complete sale. Meaning, I'm not getting anything back. I sold the broken animal, it's done. Now here, we're talking about where I'm getting the animal back. Remember, we're talking about a transaction. The business transaction over here is I'm selling the animal only to receive on the return the animal, but we're going to just simply, he's really buying the future fetuses. And so maybe the Gemara says, maybe according to Rav Yehuda, for sure that would be okay. So Tibai l'Rabbanan. On the other hand, we could also ask a question according to the Chachamim. Adkan l'kasir Rabbanan. Now remember, the Chachamim prohibit the sale of a broken animal to a non-Jew. But Ela b'shur the paskiminei. But there, I can understand that. I can make that argument because there, the sale is a complete sale. Avashlema de la paskiminei, sharu. But over here, I'm not selling an animal. In other words, I am selling him the future fetuses of the animal, but I'm not selling him the animal itself. The mother animal is coming back to me. On the other hand, the counter consideration is that, look, again, we're talking about the masses seeing the transaction and not understanding. Do you see what just happened? He gave his animal over to a non-Jew. Oh, okay, fine. So it must be okay to sell your animal to a non-Jew. So again, if we allow such business practices to occur, people will erroneously conclude that it must be okay to sell an animal to a non-Jew when it's not okay. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we take the following into consideration? So the Gemara says, the real reason behind the Shita of the Chachamim is that they say to Rav Yehuda, so aren't they going to have other animals mounted and produce offspring? So it's Alma Mishamu Rahu. So it sounds like that the whole issue, that the whole concern is that it's going to produce, it's going to be given over to a non-Jew in order to produce fetuses. So So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the dialogue between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim are saying to Rav Yehuda as follows. Look, if you want our reason is that we're worried once we allow any kind of business arrangement between Jew and non-Jew, and the Jew is handing over the animal to the non-Jew, people will see that and say, oh, it's a sale. Even though it's not a sale, but people will say that, and that's really what's behind the Chachamim. Ela'at my tamasharius, but you are permissive. So, de'en yuchol le'etzrapos. So, the command is nav l'shchita dami. So, and what your argument is, well, if it's a broken animal, so, it's a broken animal, and people are going to be shechting it, meaning it's not sold for labor. It's sold for dinner. So, v'halo marvin ala v'yoledes, v'kevin de marvin ala v'yoledes, mashallah. Mashallah. And so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, but aren't you worried about the following? Meaning, it's true that the animal can't work. But if it's a female animal, so can it be bred? And isn't the non-Jew just going to let the animal sit around, hang around, and try to mate the animal and breed the animal, and it's just going to be sitting around for a long time? And to which the response is, Amr lehu lechishatele delo mekabla zachar. And the response is very simple. Rav Yehuda says it's not going to get mounted. Meaning because the animal is broken, so it's simply not in a position where it can be mounted. And so Rav Yehuda says, so that's also not a concern of mine as well. Okay, so let's recap. Okay, over the course of this morning. So we learned together that if an animal, we're learning the first parak of Bechoros. We are learning together the idea that your firstborn donkey has Kedusha and needs to be redeemed. And the redemption is going to be given over to the Kohen. The redemption can come in the form of a sheep, or, as we'll learn a little bit later in the Perek, or you could just redeem it with money. But that's coming up later. We haven't learned that yet. We don't know that yet. So the Mishnah's point is very simple. If you have non-Jewish interest in the animal, the resulting firstborn does not have Kedusha. That's the rule. It's really simple. And it can manifest itself in many different ways, in many different business arrangements. The sales of fetus, the partnership of the mother, a sharecropping relationship regarding the mother. In so many different business relationships, the idea is very simple. Non-Jewish interest creates an exemption of Petra Chamor. We discussed first and foremost why the need for all the cases of the Mishnah, the Gemara explained, and then a corollary discussion about whether or not Rav Yehuda would allow for the sale of fetuses, where we know that there's a ban of selling large animals to a non-Jew based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah, and Rav Yehuda creates an allowance, a heter, a dispensation for selling broken animals because they're not for labor, they're only for shechita, and he allows for that. The Chachamim disagree, but Rav Yehuda allows for that. Would he also allow for the sale of fetus as well? A good part of today's daf, a good part of today's discussion. Our Mishnah seems to weigh in on the issue, but the Gemara deflects. However, the conclusion of the Gemara was is that even Rav Yehuda, who allows for the dispensation of the sale of broken animals to a non-Jew, would not allow for the sale of fetuses. That's the Gemara's conclusion in terms of the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And then the last issue that the Gemara raised is, what if I'm not selling a current fetus, but let's say I'm selling a future fetus. If I'm selling a future fetus to a non-Jew, I hand them over my animal and I say, you want to buy the future fetuses, knock yourself out? Go for it. So would that be allowed? That question could be posed both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're in the middle of the discussion of what each one would say about that.